Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey folks, welcome to Beyond the Blockchain. I'm your host, Scott Tindall, and thanks for tuning in with us. This is our second live show, and we're looking forward to having a good time and just really visiting about what blockchain technology is. What is cryptocurrency? Why does it matter to us? Because, you know, that's really what's important. And each week we're going to dive into the headlines and just give you a little bit of a framework of the show. We'll start with some headlines and we'll just kind of get an idea of what's going on in the world of blockchain and crypto this week. And then hopefully as we get a base built up around that, we'll move into more about specific topics. Tonight, in fact, we're going to talk about NFTs. What are they? What do they mean? You've heard a lot about them. A lot of people think, oh, this is just right-clicking on art. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But we'll really help you understand what is an NFT. It stands for non-fungible token, and how those can be used in real life, but also how they can be used for fun. So tonight we're going to talk about a couple different crypto projects that I think are a lot of fun. And in the bottom of the hour, we're actually going to bring on a guest to visit with us about this crypto project and about how you can have fun and maybe even make money while you're doing it. So, you know, make sure you stick around. Follow us on all the socials. You can check in with us at beyondtheblockchainshow.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well. Twitter, it's beyondtheblockshow.com. And also, hopefully you're listening live at 106.5 FM Talk or catching us through the web. And tomorrow, if you missed any of this or you want to catch up, you can find the podcast on FMTalk1065.com, as well as the primer episode and some of the previous stuff on BeyondTheBlockchainShow.com as well. So let's dive into the headlines while we're here. And the first thing I want to get into is this headline from CoinGecko. And what they have to say here today is, actually it's Cointelegraph. And they have an article about Binance and MasterCard launching a new partnership. And through this partnership, so let's back up. We're all familiar with MasterCard. Binance is one of the largest exchanges in the world. And they have different exchanges throughout, you know, the different countries. They are based out of Canada. And they have a partnership they've announced with MasterCard. And what they're going to do is they're going to bring a prepaid option to Argentina where you can actually use crypto and pay at over 90 million locations. Is that right? No, 90 million people. Wow. Yeah, roughly 90 million merchants globally and online. So through this partnership with Binance and MasterCard, you will now be able to pay with crypto anywhere that accepts MasterCard. It's also saying that Argentine cardholders will get up to 8% back in cryptocurrency from certain purchases. So you have to think that's going to encourage people to want to pay with crypto, to adopt crypto faster. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out in Argentina. I think this is going to be a good test case to see what it looks like around the rest of the world. And there's clearly a reason that, you know, Binance and MasterCard decided that they would start here. And so it'll be interesting to follow this story and see why Argentina was the country of choice and see if we can follow this. I know one thing that's interesting, and this probably has a lot to do with it, is that Argentina has a crypto penetration of over 12%, which is double that of the larger countries in South America like Peru and Mexico. So what that means is 12% of Argentines or Argentinians are already exposed to crypto. So that seems like a pretty good place to start. And so that makes sense to me because a lot of this is about, you know, how do we increase adoption? How do we increase the number of people who are using these products so that it becomes scalable and more user-friendly? And so that's a big one. Binance and MasterCard now providing a partnership to do prepaid crypto at 90 million in front of 90 million merchants. That is pretty remarkable. Which brings us into another headline. And you may have seen some of these ATMs around gas stations or other places. And they're actually crypto ATMs. You know, you see a Bitcoin ATM. And sometimes you wonder, like, what in the world is going on here? You can actually buy crypto from these ATMs and gas stations now. And CoinMe, which is one of the larger ATM operators inside the crypto space, they have actually announced that they will start allowing you to use other types of crypto at their locations. And that includes everything from Litecoin to Matic. And it's going to allow you to deposit into these coins. It's going to allow you to withdraw. And what it's going to do is bring a whole lot of people. Actually, they've got 10,000 units. So they got 10,000 ATMs in grocery stores and other locations around the country. And now you'll be able to purchase your crypto there. And it used to be just Bitcoin. But like I said, here it says here on CoinDesk, not only will Bitcoin be available for purchase at these ATMs, but also ETH, which is the native token, Ether, the native token of the Ethereum blockchain. We've got Polygon, which trades as Matic, Chainlink, which trades as Link, Dogecoin trades Doge, Litecoin LTC, and Stellar XLM. So now, if you're at any one of these 10,000 kiosks in North America, instead of just Bitcoin, you can pick up any of this bundle of coins. And I think we'll see a continued adoption of that as well, where more coins will get added. And as people trust different coins and different tokens, you'll see that adoption start to grow. And that's something that we can pay attention to, is who do people trust, right? Now we know MasterCard and Binance trust one another. That's an interesting parallel to pay attention to. And we'll do the same thing with each of these. And we'll try and track them as we go, so we can kind of figure out what these partnerships are going to look like going forward, because they're going to be really important for the future of Web3. And when we mentioned Web3, I know we've talked about that before, but Web3 is simply understood as this. Web1, we were just consuming information. That was the first generation of the internet. We just downloaded information and we were happy to read it and we were thankful for it, because we had never seen anything like this, you know? And then Web 2 allowed us to be social. Then instead of just consuming information, we could talk to each other. And now everybody had a voice. Everybody had an opinion. Well, we always had an opinion. Now we just had a way to share it with the world. All right. And so that's Web 2. That's a second iteration. And Web 3 is going to be this new iteration where we consume information, we converse with one another, and we create our own content. But now we will actually have control over our data. So a lot of these Web 3 products and projects we talk about will be data driven. They'll be about, how do we control our data? What belongs to us? What belongs to someone else? That's one of the big highlights as well that I want to get to today. And in the headlines is, we've got a story about Tornado Cash. And I know that sounds like appropriate, of course, Tornado Cash, right? And then they're being accused of being involved in money laundering operations. So it's it's kind of the perfect segue. But the point of this headline, and we really need more time to talk about it. We've only had 2 minutes before the break, so we can't get all the way into it. But Tornado Cash is important to pay attention to, because it's about privacy. And it's about the story of this gentleman who wrote code. He wrote open source code and put it on the internet. And the question is, if you write open source code, are you responsible for what other people do with that information? Or are the people who conduct bad acts responsible for their own bad acts? And so what we've seen in this case is that they're actually interested in pursuing charges against the gentleman who has developed the code to be used. And what they've said is that North Korean North Korean entities are using this source code to launder money, essentially. Okay, so the question is, if you create a code and you put it out online, are you responsible for everything that ever happens with that code? And that's going to be an important privacy question that we're going to have to follow, because right now there is no good answer. All these things that we encounter in Web3 and blockchain technology and crypto, these are all going to be things that are new for everyone. So we'll explore it as we go. Now, we're about to head into a break here in, you know, a few seconds. And so what I want to do before we get there is I want to remind you to go out to the Twitter. Check us out at beyondtheblockshow.com. Tweeting your questions. Go to the text line. Text us at 251-343-0106. We'd love to answer your questions. That's a fun part of what we get to do. And also, make sure that you give us a call also. We'll take your calls live at 251-343-0106. Now, at the bottom of the break, we're going to talk about NFTs, what they are, what they're not. You know, a lot of people think that these NFTs are are just sucking people's money away and much for, you know, fun and nothing else. But what we're actually going to get a chance to do is talk about the practicality. How are NFTs going to actually benefit us? We'll talk about games. We'll talk about horse racing, digital horse racing. We'll talk about owning your own digital soccer team and maybe taking all those Madden skills you developed all your life and actually putting them to use and making some money out of them. See you soon.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
All right, folks, welcome back. I appreciate you sticking with us, and I'm happy to be here for the second live episode of Beyond the Blockchain here on FM Talk 106.5. If you're following along with us, you can ask us questions on Twitter at Beyond the Block Show, and you can follow us along on Facebook as well, Beyond the Blockchain. Basically, anywhere you look for us, you'll be able to find us with a little bit of searching. Coming up on this segment, I want to talk about, I've had a lot of questions come in about NFTs. What are they? Does it matter? How do I understand? What is it like? If I don't own a Bored Ape already, am I in trouble? And if you don't know what a Bored Ape is, you're great. You're not in trouble. All right. It's the same thing. If you don't know what some of these large NFT projects are, you're not missing out. But this is what happens a lot with new things that enter society. You're going to see an adaptation where you have the first movers, they start moving into a space. You've got the early adapters. And what we're seeing now is the people in the NFT space began in the beginning as a way to control digital artifacts. I want to own something that's a digital artifact, whether that's in a video game or a piece of art, right? So what NFTs allow you to do is NFT actually stands for non-fungible token, okay? What does that mean to me? Why do I care? What non-fungible basically means is one of a kind, right? So how do I make sure something is real? How do I know if it's a real Beanie Baby or if it's a real Picasso? NFTs help us do that. NFTs are a piece of code that allow us to tokenize a product, essentially, whatever it is. We can tokenize anything. And we're going to see this, you know, happening very soon. If you want to prove something is authentic, you're going to be able to create an NFT that will travel for the lifetime of this physical piece of work, just like a digital piece. So basically everything will contain a new digital signature, right? So if it's a piece of digital art, maybe it's a cartoon character, that's one thing. But what we're also going to see with NFTs is the ability to travel this into physical objects and physical goods. And one of the most important parts about NFTs is the ability to have a smart contract. And what the smart contract allows is for the owner of the NFT to receive residual funds throughout the lifetime of that contract. So let's say I'm a band and I sell a ticket to my concert and I'm just getting started and I have 100 seats and they sell out. If these tickets are NFTs, there are a couple of different things. One, they're collectible because it's one of 100 that we created tonight for the show. But two, we can add a smart contract to it that says, in the event that you sell this to someone else, then the band can retain a certain percentage of the sales price of that ticket. So now this whole secondary market opens up to the band as well. And this can go for any artist, any creator, anyone who wants to own their technology, their ideas. And remember, that's the whole idea behind Web3, is that we can start owning our own data. We own our own ideas and we can monetize them, and we should get paid for this because these are ideas. And if other people are making money off of it, we should make money off them ourselves.
Do that to MP3s too?
Yeah, that's a good. So the question is, can you do that to MP3s? And I would say, yeah, anything that's a file that exists, we can one of one it with an NFT. And now that becomes a one of one piece of art or piece of, you know, whether it's collectibility, or it could even be one of one on who owns the property or title to a piece of land. And so we see this a lot in emerging economies where people think, well, why would I need a digital NFT one-of-one version of my deed? Well, in America, we take it for granted because, you know, we generally trust, the system, and we generally trust probate to keep up with all of our documents related to title and land ownership. But in emerging economies, that's not always the case. And so having the ability to have proof of ownership of something digitally that can be verifiable around the world is very important. It's a way we can make sure that something stays one of one and not more of that. Now, that's some pretty practical uses of NFTs, but what I really want to talk about next is something that's really fun with NFTs, and that's where gaming is headed. And two of my favorites we're going to talk about right now are one is called Zed Run. And if you want to check it out, you go to zed.run. Okay, zed.run. And essentially, this is digital horse racing. And through NFTs, your horse is an NFT. With this horse, you own it. You start your stable. You build your stable. You train your horses. You enter him or her into the races you want to run. And guess what happens? You can actually win real crypto, right? You win real money. You can actually do this as a profession. There are people now that are digital stable owners, and their profession is managing the stable of these digital horses that are out there running races. And you may think this is crazy, but the math backs it up, because the math is built on real life thoroughbred racing, and it's built on the characteristics. And if you dig into it, you'll start to see how interesting it really could be. And I know a lot of people say, well, this is, you know, just silly. This is gambling. This is, I would say it's not, it's a little different, and it's actually being pretty strategic about the way you can use your crypto. Because one of the things you can do inside of Zed Run is you can start a stable and you can actually breed new horses. So you can use your NFTs and you can combine the best traits of each of these NFTs to actually create new NFTs. And when you do, when you create these new digital horses and you expand your stable, you're actually expanding, you're breeding, you're expanding the amount of assets you have. And then you can both stud your male horses out to breed with other digital horses, or if you have a mare, you can use her and you can raise your own future winners of your digital races. But the beautiful thing is, this is happening all around the world. Thousands of people are playing this game, and you can go out right now and check it out at Zed.run, and you can see what people are up to. It's really fascinating. It's pretty interesting. It's something I definitely want to follow along with and see how the space develops. And with that in mind, there's another one that I really like. I just started learning more about it. And this one is called Footium. You can find it at Footium, right? Footium. And Footium is actually, it's Web3 metaverse version of owning your own soccer club, or, you know, as they call it around the world, football, yes. Right? And so this is really cool. So what it reminds me of, and as I was looking through this, and I was talking to a friend, so let me clarify that for you. It's footium.club, Footium.club. And what you'll see when you check out Footium is this is a Web3 owned game where you can own and manage your own soccer club. So if you're a fan of Ted Lasso and you love AFC Richmond, you know, this is a chance that you can be your own Ted Lasso. And you actually can recruit your own players. You can trade them. You can train them. You can invest in your coaches. You can invest in your stadiums. People are creating digital brands around this, and they're selling merchandise. People are creating social accounts, and they're building their clubs. But the interesting thing is, as you build your club, this is building value, real live value around the NFTs that you're building. And the stronger your club, the more valuable they are within the system. And then you could turn that into real cash. So I think about, you know, when I was growing up, spending all these hours, you know, playing video games, you know, in college. And for what? You know, I guess I got some good experience hanging out with my friends, but I certainly wasn't building value toward anything else. And so Footium is this really cool game where you can do that. And I know a lot of us don't know a whole lot about soccer and football. And so what I want to do at the bottom of the hour is I'm going to bring on a friend, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to bring in Tate. Tate Richards is a football player here at AFC Mobile, our NPSL team. And, you know, Tate also knows quite a bit about NFTs and crypto in that world. So when Tate comes in at after the break, we're going to talk a little bit about Footium, what owning a club would be. What does it mean to build an academy? How do you train a team? If we wanted to get involved and we wanted to start a Beyond the Blockchain football club, right? And we want to manage it together with the show. You know, how are we going to do that? And so that'll be fun to have that conversation when we come back. But really to kind of wrap up this session, you know, we've been talking about NFTs. We've been talking about how they become practical, how they're more than just art, how they're more than just right click and save, how they can help you own your data, how they can help you own your own property. And so that's going to be an important part of what we talk about. So remember, we're going to have the ability to answer your questions, and we're going to come back with more. And when we come back, we'll talk more about Foodium. Go check out Zedrun, Zed.run. Go ask us some questions on Twitter and Facebook. We'll check in with you when we get the chance. And I'm excited to talk more about Foodium and maybe us having a club together. See if it's something that we want to play along with, and see if we can't use the show to build some real good brand value inside a Web3 football team.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. I'm excited to be here with you live on FM Talk 106.5, and you'll also be able to check us out, Beyond the Block Show, on Twitter and Facebook as well. You can find us Beyond the Blockchain and beyondtheblockchainshow.com. So, you know, we've been talking today about the headlines and what that means for what's going on, and how Binance and MasterCard now exposing 90 million new merchants to be able to accept, you know, crypto. We've talked about CoinMe and 10,000 new ATMs that are now going to be able to dish you out not just Bitcoin, but other types of crypto as well. And we also talked a little bit about NFTs and how they started, you know, with this idea of just being art and right-click save, but it's become so much more, and it's now a way that we can own things on the internet, and we can prove ownership, and we can prove authenticity. And with that in mind, we talked about Zedrun, the horse racing game. It looks like a lot of fun. And we briefly talked about Foodium. Okay, Foodium. Remember, I told you it's FOOTIUM.club if you want to learn more about it. And I just decided that I think here at the show, at Beyond the Blockchain, we should own our own Foodium Club. And it would just be a remarkable project and just something fun that we could all do together. And with that in mind, I know that, you know, I know a little bit about football and a little about international soccer, but only recently. So earlier this year, I became involved with our local club, AFC Mobile, and started to learn about international soccer, what we call soccer, what they call football. And through that, I was able to meet a guy who's become a good friend. And because this is a global enterprise here in Web3, I wanted to be a global show. And so we're going to bring on global friends and global guests. So we're going to talk to Tate Richards now. Tate, are you there?
Hi, Scott. Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, great. So Tate comes originally from London, and he and I got a chance to visit this summer when he was a part of the club here at AFC Mobile. And he's now finishing up another season. And so Tate's at Missouri Valley College, and I think you're currently ranked 6th in the country right now, playing mid-center, and, you know, won the national championship a couple years ago. So you know what you're talking about when it comes to soccer and when it comes to football. And, you know, I'm excited for our listeners to get some of this international flavor as well, because you can actually tell us what international football is all about, because you've experienced it, right?
Yeah, no, it's very different to American soccer. You can say it's here, it's a lot more physical. I'd like to say that they breed athletes quite literally. Like, everyone is fit, machine, like run for days, and just well built in general. Whereas coming from back home, a lot, it's a lot more focused on technical ability. But the change has been nice, and the level of and the quality of players here is also just is a high standard. And I'm just happy to kind of be a part of a growing kind of American, like American, the fact that American soccer is growing, I'm happy to be a part of it.
Well, I'm happy that you're a part of it as well. And with that in mind, don't you think that, you know, I should let everybody know that Tate's also part of our show here and part of this segment we call The Vault that we'll talk about a little later. I mean, Tate, you and I have gotten to know each other pretty well. You know, kind of how my philosophy of grit works, you know, this gratitude, relationships, innovation, teamwork. But, you know, you mentioned something that really struck a chord with me. You said is building this American version of soccer. And, you know, with kind of this idea of footy, maybe that's something we could do, right? We can build our own Beyond the Blockchain version, and we can actually build our club based on those values. And that's one of the things that's really neat about how Web3 works. Can you tell me, just tell our listeners a little bit about kind of you're in college now. You know, all you, the folks your age are, I would say, crypto natives, right? Isn't that fair to say you are ingrained in crypto much more than what, you know, we're used to? But even give us an example of, like, you know, what you're dealing with, kind of what the idea and thoughts are behind things like Fludium and Zedrun. Are these things that people in college think is something they can do going forward?
No, yeah, definitely. I'd say that, you know, I mean, crypto is a new thing for people my age. Like, it's a lot. It's got a lot of doubt around it, but the doubt is more the fact that they're not knowledgeable about it. And I'd say that kind of the fact now that, you know, there's so many avenues that you can explore that allows you to understand crypto, NFTs a bit more, that it's easy to find a project that kind of sticks with you. And so Fludium for me, I think is an outstanding project. The fact that, you know, you can link it back to NFTs and learn more about that, but then also, you know, have something that you're interested in, for me, like football/soccer, and just the idea on it is so fun that, you know, you can be so involved with it. And the fact that it's so in depth, like the fact that you can have an academy on Fludium is beyond me, because a lot of people kind of look past that. People just see soccer as,
yeah, let's, you know, talk about that, because I don't think enough people know what the academy means
and comprehend kind of the younger stages and how much effort and stuff has to be put into it at a younger age. And I feel like Fludium kind of it allows you to kind of see that and understand that.
Yeah, that's a great point, and something that some of our listeners here, you know, in Mobile and across the South may not be aware of. International soccer has this academy model where, essentially, if you think about it like college football, instead of having to recruit high school students, imagine that you just started them with your club at maybe, what, say 10, 12 years old, right? You may
some even from under nines, I think it starts. Under nines is like when it properly starts.
Right. So, you know, if our listeners want to make a comparison, it's like imagine Alabama and Auburn having their own academies where they're training these players that they expect to come play for them, you know, in 10 or 12 years. Yeah. And that's what the international soccer model looks like. And with Fludium, that's something you're actually able to do. So it's a lot like building franchise mode in Madden. Tate, I don't know if you've spent enough time with folks around the States here to know, but, you know, Madden's like this phenomenon on, you know, NFL football and people building their franchises and playing for years and years and playing online. And, you know, they did that and they spent all this time, but they didn't accrue any equity in what they were building. You know, they didn't accrue anything other than burned a lot of hours and maybe made some friends online. And that's where Fludium is going to be different. And I think that's what we're starting to see with folks, you know, like your age. You have an expectation and your friends have an expectation of owning content much more broadly than, say, folks my age. You know, and I'm 40. I'm not a dinosaur just yet. I'm getting there. But what can be cool about this project is as we blend all these things together, and we actually can use Fludium to keep up with, you know, our project and kind of worldwide what's going on with the NFT market as well, because what we see is these teams are for sale. So if we're going to buy one of these, I mean, we can't just build one from scratch. We're going to have to go find one of these Fludium teams, that one of these clubs that we're going to buy. And the crazy thing is, when we get this club, here's what we get, Tate. We're going to get, we get six features, all right? So we're going to get our squad. We get a fan base. We get our kits, which here in the States, that's our uniforms. We get our history. We get an academy, and we get a stadium. So I think we got to be really diligent about figuring out which one of these clubs that we want to, you know, take on is the Beyond the Blockchain club. But the crazy thing is, these clubs are competing in real life. There's over 128 leagues and 64 divisions of clubs around the world.
I was reading up about it.
Yeah, and so we can have promotion and relegation as well, right? If we do well, we get promoted into a higher club. If we're garbage, then we're going to get demoted.
Yeah, but it's literally the concept of it is real life. This is the kind of stuff that happens in real life. This is all the stuff that real football/soccer clubs have to take into consideration, you know.
I think this should be a course in every sports management class in America. Maybe even every, you know, MBA school. Is you should have to take on a real life club like this and see if you can run it and see what happens. Because, you know, obviously this is simulated, but there's a lot of stuff going on here that's just like real life. You know, it's not so easy.
Yeah.
So, Tate, when we come back, I want to talk about the vault. I want to talk about this idea that we're knocking around on maybe how we can use asymmetrical information and we can start to find ways to maybe get an advantage in the market, you know, whether that's in the crypto market or whether that's throughout, you know, other ways of knowing things that other people don't know. So I think that's going to be fun, and I'm excited for people to learn more about that. And, you know, Tate will be handling a lot of that for us as well. And, Tate, now you're going to be handling a Footium with me too. So we've now taken on a second assignment.
I'm very happy to be a part of that. Today.
Yeah, twist your arm and make you help us help the show run a digital football club, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a rough one. You know, we also should probably get a horse. It just seems like it's something we should do, like a stable and a club. Maybe we'll just start with the club, and we'll work into the stable later.
Yeah.
Tate, how's the season going? We got about 30 seconds before we head into break. I know you got training going on out there. Is everybody feeling good, getting ready for the season?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a whole bunch of you know, old players that have transferred onto top D1, top D2 schools. So we've had a lot of freshmen coming in, and being a sophomore now, I've been given a lot of responsibility, but everything's looking great. Players are looking healthy and fit, and just excited to start conference on Friday.
Oh, nice. So you're the elder now coming into conference play. All right. So we've got a match on Friday. Who we got?
We're playing against Columbia College.
And is the match home or away?
It's away. They're ranked fourth in the nation currently. So it's a
top 10 matchup.
Very, very tough game, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So we've got a match of number 6 versus number 4 on the road. So that's going to happen on Friday. You're going to have to give an update next week. We want to hear how the match went. And you got to be, you know, holding down mid-center and, you know, making sure the club, you know, gets 3 points. How about that?
Yeah, no, definitely. Hopefully, you know, I can get a 3 points, get a goal, and come back with good news next week to tell you guys. Yeah.
Cool. All right, we're off, and we're coming back in about 3 minutes.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
All right, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. I'm excited to have you here with us live on a Wednesday night from Mobile, Alabama. A lot of people wouldn't expect there to be a live show about blockchain technology, cryptocurrencies, and Web3 coming out of Mobile, Alabama. But I'm proud that we are. And I'm thankful for FM Talk 106.5 for giving us this opportunity. And, you know, check them out online and stop by the Facebook and the Twitter page. You can go ask us questions at the Beyond the Block show. We actually just had a question come in from the text line. And Tate Richards is back with us. Tate, for the final segment. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. So so somebody had a good question. Actually, Tina texted on the text line, and she said, all right, I hear about these digital horses. How do I buy one? That's a great question. So really the question is, some of these NFT projects, how would I ever get started? And I tell people the easiest thing to do, and two of what I think are the platforms that are the most vetted would be, you know, Super Rare, and that's superrare.com, and then OpenSea, OpenSea. Those are the two that I think people feel really good about, that people feel like they can trust. And like everything else, you know, we tell people to do your own research. None of this is financial advice. This is just a whole lot of what we're interested in and what we find entertaining and intriguing. Hopefully we can learn a lot along the way. So the question was, I want a racehorse. I want one of these horses. So some of these projects, you can mint them as they're starting, meaning you can join the project as it's getting started. Once it reaches kind of a level of participation, typically the NFTs or the products that you use for the game go on the secondary market. And like we said, the two largest there are superrare.com and then OpenSea.io. .io is an extension that you're going to see a lot with Web3 projects. And that has more to do with kind of a branding and marketing effort to let you know that they're Web3 focused more than, you know, functionality. It's not going to change anything for you regarding the functionality. But all right, so Tate, we're back, and so what we need to talk about for next week is we need to start looking through Futium, and we need to start looking at OpenSea and Super Rare, and start examining some of these clubs, because I mean, I don't want us to just jump off and get our hands on the first Futium club, you know, we can get our hands on, because you know these are on the secondary market. We can't just mint one right now. So I think it's important that we take some time and look through it, figure out, you know, which club we need, which club we want, what kind of fits our brand and our level of hustle, and then, you know, how we're going to adapt that. And that kind of brings me into kind of the next segment, Tate. This is what you and I have been knocking around, is this idea called The Vault, right? And what we want with The Vault, this new segment, is this idea of using asymmetrical information to maybe find things that are worth more than a lot of people might otherwise think they're worth, and then using our combined knowledge almost to crowd share and crowdsource this information. So, Tate, give them a little idea on kind of what you and I have been knocking around this summer a little bit, but kind of how we think this can expand beyond just kind of what we've been working on so far.
Yeah, well, we had this idea called The Vault, and it's technically a way, in simple terms, to raise sort of funds from, like Scott said, stuff that may seem a lot more, have a lot more value than one may think it will, and kind of either put that into cryptocurrency and try and flip it through crypto, or, you know, use the money that you've made of it to pay the bill, like to pay your bills and stuff. It all depends on your, you know, your economical situation and how much you're making and stuff like that, and what you need and how much you can give away, kind of thing.
That's a great
and
point.
We kind of decided to think of as many different avenues and different paths and different ways that you can kind of raise these funds just for the common person. Some people might find it difficult to grasp their head around cryptocurrency and might need a little bit longer to understand the concept of it. And so therefore we've kind of thought of different ways that people can raise these funds and just get involved and pay for simple stuff.
Yeah, it's a great point. I love the way you put it. So when we talk about The Vault, we'll talk about things that maybe around your house that are worth more than a lot you, maybe more than you think they're worth. Maybe in the early 90s you bought Jurassic Park when it first came out, right? And you loved that Michael Crichton book and you have that hardback first edition, and you know, you could go pick that up from, you know, the thrift store for $3, or you could sell it on eBay for $100. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on out there like that. That's kind of a couple of the examples we've come across. But you're right, Tate. I mean, what we want The Vault to be is this idea of using the information you have to find hidden gems, and then using that little bit of extra cash to either, you know, pay down some debt, pay your bills, or stack it away for something else. Or if you want to get involved in crypto, it's a good way to generate that first little bit of income to start, you know, dabbling in crypto where you don't feel like you're just going to lose your you know, seat while you're in the process of learning. Because it is a big learning process. And I want people to understand that, like, you know, I spend all day, every day trying to think through this, and I'm learning every day, you know, and you're still going to get your teeth kicked in. So some days you just got to, you know, be careful, evaluate what you're doing, evaluate the projects, and just kind of do the best you can and do your own research and understand that, you know, this is still the Wild West out here. And, you know, there's going to become more modernized versions of each of these projects, and the user interfaces are going to become easier, and it's going to be easier to use for normal people like us. But in the meantime, while you're trying to learn it, it's a whole lot of fun. You just got to protect yourself. So maybe The Vault is a way for you to make a little extra money, and now you start dabbling in crypto in a way that you can learn without putting stress on your normal life. I guess that's kind of how I think about it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I would also like to add that it's very different to kind of the things. And I know it's easy to maybe believe, like difficult to believe this, but it's very different to all the stuff that you see on Instagram sometimes about, you know, people flexing with their Ferraris behind them and saying like, hey, like you can be like this one day and stuff like that. That's not what we're trying to do here. What we're trying to do here is just the average person. We're just giving out information. We don't need you to sign up to anything necessarily. or there's not necessarily any premium content that not other people are going to get. It's just content that we're just putting out in ways that we're just trying to help people as a group. You know, if someone sees something in a thrift store and then in one state and on the other side of the US in another state, that someone else will go to something like to a thrift store. It's not like everyone's going to has to go to the same one. It's all relative to where you are. And like I said, your situation. So
that's right. So basically, we can share this knowledge and we can help people because, as you say, you know, we're not competing with one another for these things. And, you know, it's just really an opportunity to be intentional and purposeful about noticing what's around you every day. And I think you made a good point, Tate. There's a lot of scams out there. There's a lot of people who are, you know, after a dollar or whatever. And, you know, what we want to do is be able to provide people with this kind of information to educate people on what the world really looks out there, what it looks like out there and how they protect themselves, but also how they can get involved in these projects and start to have fun with them. Because at the end of the day, this should be fun. Web3 is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to take control of our data. We're going to find ways to make money in ways that we never thought we could. Now our phone is going to be this really unique way to help us really start to get control of our lives again and generate passive forms of income. We'll talk about projects all fall that have to do with this, how we take control of our data. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. Tate, thanks for joining us. I appreciate you being on the show. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully we go get 3 points against those folks up the road and go, you know, knock off that team. Pretty confident in it. All right, folks, we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you soon.